I'm going to read a few verses from Ephesians chapter 3 if you've got your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 3 and beginning to read from verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through fear, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length, the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. This is the first of two messages that I'll be sharing in the next few weeks on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the scripture the Lord has laid upon my heart to share with you this morning is from that portion that we read together in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I'll read that again. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Amen.
Amen.
Our God is an awesome God.
He is.
Friends, we serve a God today who is powerful. My Bible tells me he's all powerful. There are no limitations whatsoever with God. The Bible says with God, all things are possible and nothing shall be
impossible.
Impossible. Mm-hmm. When God told Abraham's wife, she was childless at the time and she was an old woman. And when God told Abraham that his wife was going to have a son, in her old age, the Bible says that she was listening to the conversation with the Lord and Abraham behind a tent door. When she heard God say, you're going to have a son, the Bible says she laughed. The Lord said, why did you laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I want to tell you, friends, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing is impossible. Several times in Scripture, the same phrase appears, certainly in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 32 and verse 27. I am the Lord God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32 verse 17. Our Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your stretched out arm, and nothing is too hard for you. Friends, the same God who stretched out the heavens, that the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the same God who created this beautiful world of ours, the Bible says the earth shows his handiwork. This same God who created all that, and who holds all things together by the word of his power. This same God, friends, tells us that absolutely nothing is too difficult for him to do. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. There's not a problem that he can't solve. Don't know how big your problems are, but I want to tell you, God is bigger than them. There's not a sickness that he can't heal. The Bible says he heals all our diseases. There's not a sin he can't forgive. In fact, there is nothing, no matter what it is, that you are facing today that is bigger than the God that we serve. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. He's an all-powerful God, and there is nothing impossible with him. Now, we say that, but do we believe it? Do we believe it? It's easy to say, but do we really believe that with God, nothing is impossible? Do you believe that God is bigger than the problem you've got? Do you believe God is bigger than the sicknesses that we carry about in our bodies? Bigger than cancer?
Yes.
Bigger than the big C? Yeah?
Yes.
Bigger than anything that comes our way? Do we believe God is bigger than our sin?
Amen.
And when he says he can forgive our sin, that he's able to do that. Friends, there is only one who can forgive sin. And it's not a priest. It's God.
That's right.
The Bible says there is only one mediator between God and man, and it's the man Christ Jesus. Only God can forgive. We serve a powerful God. And Paul here in this scripture that we've got this morning says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Notice it says God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. This tells me that no matter what we are asking God for, God can do much more than we ask him. In fact, he can do much more than we can even think he can do or imagine he can do. Exceedingly abundantly more. He can do abundantly more than just solve a problem. He can do abundantly more than just heal a sickness. He can do abundantly more than just forgive sin. In fact, my Bible tells me God doesn't only forgive our sin, he puts our sin behind his back, never to remember against us anymore. That's a bit of an exceedingly abundantly.
Yes.
Praise God. He's able to do more than we could ever ask or think. All things are possible, and nothing is impossible with God. And what God is able to do, the exceedingly abundantly more things that he is able to do than we could ever ask or think, is determined by one vital factor. And this is what the Spirit of God wants to lay upon all of our hearts here this morning, friends. Something that we oftentimes overlook, sometimes that we often neglect. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. It doesn't stop there. It says it is according to the power that works in us. Oftentimes we think that God will do something and it will come externally. Friends, whatever God does, God does it to his people. We are the church of the living God. And the word of God here tells me that the answers are not from above. The answers are from within. The answer is not an external power coming upon a situation. The answer is an internal power coming from you and me. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly far more than we could ever ask or think according to the Spirit or the power that works in us. Praise God. I pray that revelation will come with that this morning.
Amen.
Because oftentimes we're looking for an answer outside of us. Friends, the answer is within us. So the great things God is able to do is governed by the power that is at work in us. This power is referred to in the Word of God as the power of the Holy Spirit. The word for power is the Greek word dunamis. It's from this word that we get our word dynamite, an explosion. And so, friends, this dynamite, this explosion of power, is an explosion of the life of God. This power that is at work in us is an explosion of the power of God. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Dynamite, an explosion of God's life. You, and when this happens, you shall be my witnesses. I don't think we fully realize the potential of the anointing that abides within. Friends, there is power in this room this morning. And we don't have to look at where the power is. The Bible says the anointing abides within. The power is within you and it's within me. The anointing abides within. I think this is what Paul meant when he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. Friends, it's not by might. It's not by power. It is by my Spirit, says the Lord. This is what Jesus was referring to when he said, these signs will follow those who believe. And in the Bible, we have a list of signs that will follow believers. And those signs are referred to in the Bible as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There is one baptism. And from that one baptism, there are nine gifts or nine manifestations of the Spirit's power. This is what Jesus meant when he said, the works that I do, you shall do also. And greater works than these that I do, shall you do. You'll do greater. If that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he shall quicken your mortal bodies by that Spirit that dwells in you. We are this morning containers of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us here are vessels of a container of God the Holy Ghost. Our bodies, the Bible says, are become temples of the Holy Spirit. And God himself is residing in our lives. Friends, this anointing that abides within, the measure of the Holy Spirit in you and the measure of the Holy Spirit in me is according to our hunger and thirst after God. The Bible says if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. And so the measure that you have of the Holy Ghost today and the measure that I have is according to our hunger and thirst after the things of God. There is no doubting God wants our measure to be a full measure. Yeah. I cannot read the scriptures, friends, but realize that the capacity that God wants for each one of us here this morning is for us to be full of the Holy Spirit. Yes. No half measures. He wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3 verse 19, it talks about that we might know the fullness of God. God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit. So full that what we have begins to flow out. Good measure, pressed down, shake it together, and running over. Jesus, on that last great day of the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, stood by the temple and cried out with a loud voice, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." This he spoke about the Holy Spirit. And the exhortation of Scripture is this: to be filled with the Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? Or are you filled with God? Because he's got the Holy Spirit. That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. So full, there is room for nothing else. Friends, let me tell you, we will all fill our lives up with something. And if we are full of the Holy Spirit, there will be no room for anything else. When we are not full of the Holy Spirit, it is then that other things get in. And other things begin to trip us up. And other things begin to claim our time and our attention.
That's right.
We'll all fill our lives with something, but the exhortation of the Word of God is that we fill our lives with the Holy Spirit, being full of God. So full that when we open our mouths, the overflow comes. And the words that we speak are full of the Holy Ghost. When Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and he opened his mouth and he began to speak, the Bible says they couldn't resist the power and the anointing by which he spoke. So when you open your mouth, you are so full of God that it comes out. When you lay hands on the sick, we are so full of God that the power of God, we're just a vessel. We're just like a conduit for the Holy Spirit to flow through. But when we lay hands on the sick, the Bible says they shall recover. Yes. These signs shall follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So full, friends, that our bodies are just a conduit of God. So that even our very presence amongst people brings something of God into that situation. The shadow of Peter passing by was enough to heal the sick. Friends, your very presence when you're full of the Holy Ghost will make a difference wherever you are. It will make a difference at work. It will make a difference in the home. It will make a difference in the community. Wherever you are, when you are full of the Holy Spirit, you will make a difference. So full that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are released from us to meet the need that we are presented with. Friends, the Holy Spirit, God, wants to meet need. God loves people. And God wants to meet the needs of men and women. Can I say, friends, the Holy Spirit is not just given to heal sickness. Don't get hung up on that hobby of yours. The Holy Spirit is given to meet need. And sickness happens to be a need. Whatever that need is. That's why there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of them is referred to as the gift of healings. Or the gifts of healings. But there are 8 other gifts. You see, the Holy Spirit, one baptism, 9 manifestations. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, God can use you with any of the gifts. Don't just get hung up on praying for the sick. If you are in front of somebody, friends, who faces something that is beyond the help of mankind, it might be sickness, but nobody can help. They need more than, they need a miracle to take place. God is a God of miracles. That's why one of the gifts is referred to as the gift of miracles. Whatever the need is, God has a gift to meet it. And that gift is not resident in you or in me. What is resident is the baptism of the Spirit. And whatever we stand in need of, friends, whenever we are facing that gift that is necessary for that moment, God can give you that gift to meet the need. It might be a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. It might be discerning of spirits. Whatever it is, God can meet the need through you and me. There are three gifts that I walk on: tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. There are three gifts that are revelationary gifts: discerning of spirits, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, to reveal things. There are three gifts that are power gifts, demonstrations of power, healings, miracles, and the gift of faith. And when we are full of the Holy Ghost, friends, God can use us in any one of those gifts. We'll be sharing a bit more about that in a couple of weeks' time. God can flow through us with just the right gift at the right time to meet the need that we are confronted with. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as a river. Out of you shall flow forth rivers of living water. When he said those words, his mind was going back to a prophecy that Ezekiel had about living water coming out of the temple in Jerusalem. It started as a trickle, and then went up to the knees, and then went up to the waist, and then there were waters to swim in. And that living water, it went through the threshold of the temple, and the prophet saw it and began to measure it. And then he said there was so much water that one could swim in it. And he watched as it went down from Jerusalem, as it made its way down through the Judean wilderness towards the Dead Sea. And when it reached the Dead Sea, the Bible says everything in the Dead Sea began to live. And as the water was traveling down there, everything that the water touched began to live. The barren became alive. And Jesus, as he's standing there on that great day of the feast, he said, "What is in you will be like a river of living water." So that wherever the river touches, there will be an explosion of God's life. Dead things will come alive. Things that are barren will begin to produce. Friends, it's a river of life that Jesus was referring to. God's life touching human need. This is the outflow of that which is within that results in the signs that Jesus said would follow. Believers, there is no need too big that God can't meet. But as our text says, he can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. But it is according to the power that works in us. If we are not full of the Holy Ghost, we can't expect a supernatural overflow of the Spirit to do the works of the Christ, to be administered through our lives. Paul says, "Do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Friends, there is one baptism, but there are many fillings. And every one of us, friends, on a daily basis, we ought to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's one thing to be filled with the Spirit. How do we maintain the Spirit's fullness? How do we maintain the Spirit's fullness? Let me just give you a few very quick things. Number one, walk in the light. Keep a short record of sin. When you sin, confess it and get it put right. Don't allow sin in your life. Because I'll tell you what sin does. It'll block the flow of anointing. It'll stop what God is wanting to do. It will separate. That's why as believers, friends, we've got to walk in the light as he is in the light. When my first car, my first few cars, for those who can go back that far, used to have tremendous problems with they had carburetors in those days. And the petrol tanks used to corrode, rust. And it used to get dirt in the carburetor. And it could only be a little speck. But I want to tell you, friends, no matter how big the car was, once that dirt got in the carburetor, you were going nowhere. And I want to tell you, one little speck of sin can stop us moving in the way God wants us to move. Keep your life right before God.
Good analogy.
Keep short accounts with God. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Second thing, live a life of obedience. Keep the commandments. Do what Jesus has asked us to do. If you love me, you'll keep my word. Friends, it's a simple thing. God's not looking for great sacrifices on your behalf. He's looking for obedience. Trust and obey. There is no other way. The hymn writer said to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Spend time in His presence, number three. Spend that time with God on a daily basis. Wait upon the Lord. Wait patiently upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord will renew the strength. Find that place where you can go and close the door and seek the face of God and be in the presence of the Almighty. Friends, there's never a moment that we're not in the presence of God. Every minute, every second we are alive, we're in God's presence. But Jesus spoke to us so importantly about the place that we can go to and close the door and pray to our Father who is in the secret place, in the quiet place. And He who sees what you do there when you're alone. You know, what we do when we're alone is more important than what we do when we're together. Because what we do when we're alone is what we are when we're together. Friends, there is a place, a quiet place from God, a place of rest and confidence that God wants us all to get into. Spending time in His presence. Letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly. That's, friends, be people of the book. Be people of the book. Friends, Luke's got this thing going for next year. Don't wait till next year. Get into the word of God now. Get into the word. Let it dwell in you richly. Friends, you'll never know Jesus outside of His word. He is the living word. The Bible says we're to meditate on the word of God. We're to ponder it. We've got to let it seep into our lives. It's going to be more important than the newspaper. More important than the best magazine. Even Christian books. Friends, the word of God is vital for you. And if we want to maintain the fullness of the Spirit, these are disciplines that the Lord wants us to get into. The last thing I want to say on this is to build yourselves up in your most holy faith. If we want to keep full of the Holy Spirit, friends, and this is where I believe that speaking in tongues has been given to us by God as the means of keeping full of the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing, make melody in your heart to the Lord. Keep full of God. Speak in tongues often. Every day speak in tongues. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than anybody else. And from what I see in the word of God, the man who spoke in tongues more than anyone else was the man that God used mostly. You know, friends, all the other gifts of the Spirit benefit other people. There is only one gift that benefits you. It's speaking in tongues. Because the Bible says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue, he edifies himself. Yes. You build yourself up, like Jude says, in the holy faith. So the more we speak in tongues, the more we are edifying ourselves, the more we are building our faith up. It's like the crank handle on those old cars that got the car going. You know, they put the crank in and they turned it.
Hallelujah.
When you speak in tongues, you are beginning to crank the Holy Ghost up. Stir the Spirit of God up.
Amen.
Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God, which is within you. Hallelujah. It's according to the power that works in us that causes the impossible to become possible. With God, all things are possible. Nothing will be impossible. Friends, I believe that God wants to demonstrate his power and his glory to an atheistic, unbelieving world through vessels that are set apart and ready for the Master's use. Vessels that are full of the Holy Spirit. Signs that follow are signs that tell a world that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. You know, friends, there are people outside who need to know that Jesus is alive. Don't need to know about coming to church. They need to know that Jesus is alive. You know how they'll know Jesus is alive?
Through us.
Through you and me.
Yes.
Living epistles read and known of all men. This is the treasure the Apostle Paul spoke about. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're pretty ordinary, aren't we? None of us are special. We're just pretty ordinary people. But we have this treasure. You have a treasure inside you. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. I want to tell you, friends, if God uses you, don't gloat. Don't get puffed up. All we are is available vessels for God, the Holy Ghost, to flow through. I thank God that without him we can do nothing. That's what Jesus meant, you know, when he said, without me you can do nothing. Brothers and sisters, without the baptism in the Holy Ghost, without you being full of God, you'll do nothing either. Because it's not us, it's him. Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. There is one baptism, friends. And I thank God it's available to every believer. Every born again believer. I'm not talking about salvation. Friends, only Jesus can forgive you of your sin. Only Jesus. And this morning you might be here and you don't know him. Let me tell you, the greatest thing that you'll ever experience in your life is when your sins are forgiven.
Thank you.
You will know that your sins have been forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
Friends, a brand new life will start. The Bible calls it being born again. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about salvation, but I'm talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Friends, my Bible teaches me that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate and a distinct experience from being saved. A separate and distinct experience. And it's available to every child of God. It's referred to in the Bible as the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't earn it. You'll never be good enough to receive him, to receive God the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. We can't qualify to say, I'm good enough. None of us will ever be good enough. It is a gift. And just as we received salvation, when the gospel was presented to us, and we realized we needed a savior, just as we received salvation as a gift, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. That's salvation. The gift of the Holy Spirit's got to be received in exactly the same way, by faith. We received salvation by faith, and we've got to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit by faith also. And the Acts of the Apostles is a record of the Holy Spirit flowing out of those who had been filled. My Bible tells me they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And when you receive the Holy Spirit by faith, if you don't allow prejudice to get in the way, and you don't allow fear to get hold of your life, friends, let me tell you, you will be baptized in exactly the same way that they were baptized with on the day of Pentecost. You too will speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. You see, how do you know that the Holy Spirit's come? Out of you will flow rivers of living water. And the first place it happens, friends, is in our tongues. Because what's in here wells up in here and it flows out of here. And the Spirit of God will give us utterance as we begin to praise and magnify God in languages we've never heard, never known, never been taught. Given to us by God Himself. Hallelujah. Don't be satisfied with a trickle. Friends, get into a flood of the Holy Ghost and allow the trickle to become a torrent and a flood. And the more you speak in tongues, the more tongues and the Bible calls diverse kinds of tongues, the more diversity will come into the tongues that you speak. Don't think that God's going to cause your tongue to move itself.
No.
It was the Spirit who gave utterance, but they had to open their mouths and speak. And friends, if you want to be full of the Holy Ghost, you've got to learn to open your mouth and begin to praise God and begin to speak and begin to believe what Jesus said. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, He'll give you it.
Yes.
He'll not give you anything foreign. And if you ask Him in faith, believing, out of you will flow rivers of living water. And it will begin by you speaking in tongues. The initial evidence, not the only evidence. Can I say it's the scriptural evidence? I don't care what people's experience tells them. This is what the Bible teaches. Mm-hmm. It's the scriptural experience of when a person receives the Holy Ghost. Five times we read in the Acts when the Holy Spirit was outpoured. Three out of those times it mentions tongues. Once it infers tongues. The only time it doesn't mention tongues was when Ananias laid his hands on Paul to receive his sight after he's had that wonderful conversion experience on the road to Damascus. And the Bible says scales fell from his eyes. It doesn't say Paul spoke in tongues. It just says he was baptized in the Spirit. But we know that Paul spoke in tongues more than anybody else. So we can infer that what happened to Paul on that day, friends, it is the scriptural evidence. When a person receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they will speak in other tongues. And the Acts of the Apostles is a record of the Holy Ghost flowing out of people. They were all filled. Peter and John on the way to the prayer meeting. And a man's there who'd been laid at the beautiful gate of the temple for 38 years. Peter and John are on their way to the prayer meeting. And this man's begging. Peter looks at him and he said, "We don't have any silver. But we don't have gold to give you. We've got no money, but we have got something. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And when Peter got hold of him and he began to lift him up, friends, the power of God in Peter went into that man. His ankle bones received strength and he began to leap and dance and praise God. Something he hadn't done for 38 years, perhaps all of his life. Notice they were going to the prayer meeting, full of the Holy Ghost. That's why it's a daily thing, friends. It's not a Sunday thing when we come here. It's a daily thing. Some of us come to church to get filled up. We should come to church already filled up. What an explosion of life would be in this place. If every one of us came full of the Holy Ghost, eh? If every one of us came with something to give, the very presence of our lives in God charges the atmosphere when we meet together. Signs and wonders follow the preaching of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit flowing out of him as like virtue. When that woman came and touched the hem of his garment, she said, "If only I could touch his clothes, I'd be made well."
She did.
And that day she reached out and touched his garment through the crowds. And the disciples, he stopped, he said, "Who's touched me? Who's touched me?"
Yeah.
The disciples said, "Look at the crowds, look at the multitudes. You say, who's touched you? Everybody's touching you." He said, "Oh, somebody reached out. Somebody's touched me. For I felt virtue flowing out of me." When that woman touched, she made contact with somebody who was full of the Holy Ghost. The power that was in him went into that woman. And immediately, the Bible says she was made well. Immediately, God healed her of that hemorrhaging of blood for 18 years. You see, friends, the Holy Ghost has got to have contact with people. He made contact through the words that we speak. He made contact through our presence. He made contact as we minister. God, the Holy Ghost, will make contact with people. The outflow of that river will cause life to come. You shall receive an explosion of life when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Dunamis, power. And you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. Witnesses of the risen Christ. Witnesses that Jesus is alive. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. What are we doing, mate? We're nearly there. Just prior to his ascension, Jesus assembled his disciples and he gave them a command. Do not depart from the city. Don't leave Jerusalem. But wait in the city until you are endued with power from on high. John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire not many days from now. And when this happens, when the fire of God, when the baptism in the Holy Ghost drenches your life, you will be my witnesses. You will receive power. 10 days later, after Jesus had said that to them, they celebrated the Feast of Pentecost, the Jews' celebration. This was the day that God had determined that the Holy Ghost was going to come. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, see, friends, we can't push God. God has a divine timetable he's working through. And in the annals of God, he determined that the Holy Ghost would be poured out on this day. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, when suddenly there was a sound that came from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to about 120 of them cloven tongues, divided tongues, like as of fire. And it sat upon the heads of every one of them. And the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How many were filled?
Oh.
Friends, let me tell you, God wants everybody to be filled.
That's right.
He wants none to be left out. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit that began to fill them and filled them, it began to gush out of them. They began to speak in other tongues. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and when you are baptized in the Spirit, you should expect to speak in tongues.
Amen.
As the initial sign that God the Holy Ghost has baptized you in his Spirit. Hallelujah. The initial sign. Tongues are not the only evidence, but they're just the initial evidence. The record of Acts is the record of ordinary people doing extraordinary things, signs and wonders following the word of God. The Acts of the Apostles is a record of the rivers of life, living water flowing out and meeting need all around them. Hallelujah. It's a record of God's power working in the lives of believers. This God who is able to do far exceedingly abundantly more than we ever can ask or think, according. It's according to the power that works where? In you. Friends, I want to tell you, may God take the scales of our eyes. May the revelation come of what we have received. This treasure in a vessel of clay. The power of God. Friends, there's a world outside that needs to encounter the power of God. There's a world outside that doesn't know that Jesus is alive. And God has called us. He's got no favourites. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's just the same, friends. And I want to say this morning, friends, He wants us to be filled with the Spirit, with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. There's nothing impossible with Him. But the way God achieves the impossible is filling ordinary people with extraordinary power. Yeah. Not by might or power. Mm. By His Spirit.
Amen.
Now to Him. Mm. Who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly. Mm-hmm. Don't just say, God, You're so great. So powerful. There's nothing too hard for You to do. More than we could ever ask or think. It's according to the Spirit that dwells in us. God wants you to be so full that wherever you go, you release the anointing. Hallelujah. Friends, you're not ordinary people. You're extraordinary.
Thank you.
The people, the children God's given out for signs and for wonders. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Spirit.